chapter number 7 and chapters number 8. Romans chapter 7 and 8. In chapters number 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul points out a contrast between living under the law of Moses and living in the dispensation of grace. Let me say that again. Paul is writing to believers in Rome. And some of them are trying to hold on to the Old Testament ordinances, statutes, feast days, and such as that. Paul is trying to show them the difference between living under the law and living in the dispensation of grace. And at the same time, he's reckoning the differences between a person that is saved and a person that is sanctified. I want to keep that in the back of your mind as I endeavor to preach this morning, although it seems that the bulk of the 6th and 7th chapters have to do with the law and grace. And yet there's such a story here about being saved and then sanctified. And I realize, this morning, I realize that many churches today no longer preach sanctification as an experience, as a definite work of grace. A lot of churches have taken that out of their manual, out of their articles of faith, out of their doctrinal statement, because there is reproach to live a sanctified life. There's a reproach to be holy. And I know that I have taught, tried to, in Wednesday Bible studies and in Sunday school, I have taught about the 6th and 7th chapters of the book of Romans, likening it to the man that is saved and having a warfare going on in his heart until he goes on to holiness and to sanctification. And so if I repeat one or two things that you've already heard in years past, maybe some need to hear it. He tells us the man whose sins have been forgiven, the man who has been born again, the man who has been forgiven of all that he's done wrong and given a new life in Christ, and yet he's unsanctified. The Bible says in the 7th chapter that that man has got a battle going on inside. Now, I thought about bringing the blackboard out as we do on Wednesday night. Those of you that's been here at all on Wednesday night, remember and know that I draw circles from time to time, one circle with the next, represents the man that is born with the sin nature in his life. Every one of us. We were all born in sin. Do you believe that? Surely. I draw the second circle with the X in the circle, representing the sin nature, and with the cross, the man that is saved. The sin nature is still there. He's not a sinner. The sin nature is still there with which he was born, and now Christ has come into his life. The Holy Spirit, represented by the cross. But there's a battle going on. Christ wants us to pull this way and go his route and do his will, and the outer nature, the self-will, is pulling this direction. And so always that battle going on within the hearts. I jotted down some things. There's a battle going on. The Holy Spirit prompts a man that is saved to read his Bible and pray. The Holy Spirit will say to a man, it's time to get up and get ready and go to church, to worship with the people of God. The Holy Spirit will say to a man, you need to tithe. You need to witness. And the inner man, the inner nature, in the heart of a saved man, will whisper and say, you can pray tomorrow. You can read your Bible tomorrow and catch up. About going to church, that outer nature will say, you've worked all week. You're tired. You deserve a day off. Just stay home. They can have service without you. And when it comes to tithing and witnessing, the inner man, the outer nature says, you've got bills. And if you've been to church at all, Brother Jones has said, Abundant Life is a good giving church. They can make it without. You can just hold the tithe back for a little while and pay those bills, and God will understand. In fact, the Bible says God is not a hard taskmaster. He'll understand.
And the list goes on and on and on. And the battle, there's a battle. It's been in the hearts of people that have been in this church. Every one of us have had that battle. Every man has been saved. Then he goes on to sanctification and cleansing and holiness. There's a battle going on. He knows the battle. Paul said in the 6th and 7th chapter, he knows there's something within him that's pulling him to do right. But he says, I do wrong. Something tells me that I ought to do something, but something else is telling me, not today. Let me read a scripture from the 7th chapter, 15th verse. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do not, but that what I hate, let me read it again. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You said, Brother Jones, that's devil talk. But I want you to understand. Paul said there's a time in a man's life when he's saved. And he really has the desire to obey God, to do God's will, but something is pulling him. And rather than doing what I know I ought to do, I end up doing what I ought not to do. And he says there's a warfare, and I don't want this to keep on. There's a battle going on in my heart and in my life. And as I was preparing, Paul is giving the picture of a man that is saved, and I want you to understand that. His sins have been forgiven. And to have a warfare going on in your heart is not a sin. But to yield to the wrong spirit is a sin. And so I want to make something plain after you get saved. If you yield to the wrong spirit, the Adam nature, the self-will, and sin, you need to have it forgiven. Amen. That's right. The Bible says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, not when you sin. He said, I write to you that you don't sin. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. And he said, here for that which I do, I allow not. I don't want to do it, but it seems like something's telling me to do it. Yes. I preached before, did you know something? Sin will lead you further than you ever thought you'd go. Yes. And this pull, it was in my heart, it was in your heart. Yes. And it might still be in the hearts of some today. Yes. If you're saved, not going on to sanctification, you know what I'm talking about. There's a battle going on. Yes. Yes. There's a struggle in your heart and in your life. You want to do the right thing, but seem like when you're going to do it, it turns out you're doing the wrong thing. Because you're listening to the wrong voice. You're listening to your will. The Adam nature, the sin nature that's within. Paul tells us the picture of someone that's saved. One day things are going well and he's happy in the Lord. The next day he's down in the dumps because he's pulled. One day he's shouting the high praises of God, been blessed good. The next he's pouting over something someone said or someone did. If you've ever pouted over something since you got saved, over something someone said, you need to go into holiness. Amen. If 10 people right now would say amen real loud, I think we're on the right track. If no one says amen, we're on the right track. That's one reason why the Lord come. One day they're ready to set the world on fire for the Lord, and the next day they're ready to give up and quit. Go back. It's a picture of, James said, James used these words. He said, it's a picture of a double-minded man. A double-minded man is a man that's pulled two ways. Just what Paul said in the 6th and 7th chapter. The man that is really saved, sins forgiven, and yet a turmoil going on. One day he's got the victory, but the next day he acts like he doesn't even know the Lord. And that's been the case of some. You know what I'm talking about. One day you go on the job. One Monday morning you go on the job. We've had a tremendous service on Sunday night. God's blessed you abundantly, and you're praising God. You got a smile on your face. You're happy in the Lord. And then something comes along, and you go on the job, and they ask you, are you sick? Did someone die in your family? Because we've lost our joy. Because we yielded to the wrong. you'll understand that, and that's Bible. That's not just a bundle of tabernacle teaching, that's Bible. Amen. Warfare, a battle, a pull. Pull this way, pull that way. The Lord pulling us into right, to obedience. And the self-will, the self-nature is, our nature is pulling us the other direction. Then I kept on reading. I found that it's not God's will for this battle to continue. I read in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. You might like to jot it down in your mind. Paul was writing to the believers. Saved people. In Thessalonica. And they were having the same battle that they were having in Rome. They were pulled to do good and to do evil. Each way they pulled apart. Saved, but no real victory. And Paul, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, wrote these words, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Could I ask you a question this morning? Do you want the will of God? Amen. Let me testify. The happiest people in the world are those that are saved by grace, walking in the light, living in the will of God. I don't mean just on Sundays. I mean every day of the week. 24/7. I finally learned what that meant. When it first came out of the some kind of code word. It is good to be walking in victory every day. It's not God's will for man to be pulled like this the rest of his life in two directions. I'm not sure if Paul was giving his own testimony or he was just giving us a doctrinal statement how that everyone that is saved before they're sanctified, this is their experience. Pulled in two directions. I've got something. I don't want to leave it on that note. The answer is given. God does not want anyone saved by grace to have such a battle that he's got the victory one day and down the next. God wants you to have the victory all the time. He said, "Brother Jones, how about when I'm sick? Have the victory when you're sick. How about when I'm going through a hard place? That's the best time to have victory. You need it." I read in the Bible that there's an answer to this dilemma. God's got something better. You got your Bibles open. Let's read the 24th verse. He says, "Oh, wretched man." He's talking about a saved man. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who can take care of this in my heart? Who can get rid of this X in the circle? Who can get rid of this Adam nation that I was born with that's pulling me to do wrong? I'll lift like this over here, over the wrong side over here, and the right side over here." He said, "I've been pulled to obey God. I've been pulled to pray. I've been pulled to do right. But somebody's pulling me the other way. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am, a saved man. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this?" And God anoints Paul. He says, "Paul, give him the answer. Look at the next verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I'll stop right there. I thank God. The answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can deliver me from this battle that's going on inside? Who can help me? I'm pulled, I'm pulled. I want to obey God. I want to serve God. I want to have the victory. I want to be used of God. But somebody's pulling me the other way. And it seems like this one wins out too often. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Who can help me with this, what I'm going through? Who's out there that will reach out to me? Anybody out there? And the Bible says, I thank God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will answer all that. He's the only one that can help. Let me go back to the 5th chapter of Revelation. Some of you are not here. Wednesday night, there was a scroll, there was a book in the hand of Almighty God. Sealed with 7 seals. Talking of the final judgments of this tribulation period that's going to break on this earth before too long. And the Bible said, they searched in the heavens and they searched on the earth and they searched under there. No one was found worthy to open that book. no one. Bible says, and John, seeing this, began to weep. No one will never know what's inside. We'll never know what God's plan. He began to weep. He was told, don't weep. He said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And John turned to see. And he didn't see a lion. He said, it's a lamb as it had been slain from the foundations of the earth. He's our Jesus. This is the story. Jesus is worthy. Jesus could open the book. Jesus could take care of the situation. And I answer today from that last verse, or 28th verse in that 7th chapter. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Who can help me with the dilemma that I'm in? Who can help me with the struggle that's going on in my heart? I'm saved, but some days I just don't have the victory. Some days I'm down. Some days I just seem like I've been told to do something that I shouldn't do, and now I'm sorry. Who can help me? The Holy Spirit anoints. I thank God, Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's it. That's the remedy. His name is Jesus. I could take the rest of the service this morning, just preach on Him and His names. And tonight's service, and next week's service. He's all we ever need. If you're having a battle in your heart today, if you're saved and you know you're saved, but there's a battle going on, and you've been told to do wrong, when you know that you ought to be right, you pull this way and you pull that way, and you yield it in this way, run to Jesus. Thank God, thank God. He's the answer. In that verse, then, I want to come, and I realize time gets away so quickly. Jesus came to pay the sacrifice for our sins. He came to die on the cross, that we might be saved, that we might have new life, that we have a new start in life. But I want to go a little further, and I want to come to the sermon proper, and I realize I've taken most of the time already, but as a preacher, you're always thinking, or you ought to be. And I've asked God over and over again, anytime, anywhere, if you give me a thought to preach on, whatever it is, God help me. In bed last Monday night, just come out of service here, in bed Monday night, thinking about the service, thinking about God, a scripture came to mind. It went over in my mind, I didn't know what I was going to do with it. The more I thought and the more I prayed, I came up with this. I've just read the 7th chapter of the warfare that's going on in the heart of a saved man. I've just read in the 27th verse, the remedy. His name is Jesus. And I want to quote the first verse of the 8th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation. Him that is in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation. Those three words, the next 10 minutes, I'd like to bring to our attention. The man that was living a life, that was a struggle going on, he's saved, but there's a struggle going on in his ass. Who can help me? Is there anyone that can help me? And then he comes to the realization the only one that can help is Jesus. And he accepts that. And he turns it all over to the Lord. And God cleanses him. God purges him. God washes him. Gets rid of the Adam nature. His self-will is no longer there. He can pray now, not my will, but thine be done. Before he was sanctified, he wanted his will sometime. But now we say, not my will, but thy will be done. And he says, now there is no condemnation. And I want to use that first, that word, number one, to start with. Now. You don't have to wait until the trumpet sounds. You don't have to wait until you receive a glorified body in order to be cleansed and purged and washed and sanctified and satisfied. That's for today. Now. I'm going back to the Sunday school lesson we just had. in the 15th chapter of John just recently. Jesus said, my Father's the husbandman. I am the vine, you the branches. I'm not going to reteach the class lesson. When he said, ye are the branches, the only way you can be a branch in the vine is be saved. And these people that claim that if the branches doesn't bear fruit and cut out and cast in the fire, well, they just put it on the shelf. Brother, my Bible tells me something different. If you're cut out of the vine, you're dead. But it says, every branch in me, every saved person that bears fruit, you know what it says? He purges it. He cleanses it. He washes it. He sanctifies it. What reason? For what reason? That he might bring forth more fruit. A branch in the vine, a saved person in Christ, growing in the Lord, so he sanctifies it. He cleanses it. He purges it. He shall say in that 15th chapter. He washes it. That's just what I have read from the 8th chapter of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation. Jesus has come on the scene. I've committed my life to Him. There's no longer a pull between doing right and doing wrong. My desire is to love God with all of my heart, my soul, my strength, everything that I've got. I love Him with all of my heart. Brother, that's God's desire for everyone. That's God's commandment. That's not just for the homeless church, that's for every believer. Amen. Loving God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, you can't do it. Amen. Until you're sanctified. Amen. As long as you're unsanctified, you'll be pulled this way and that way. But when you come to the place that you realize it's a turmoil, I've got the victory sometimes and I'm so happy. Another time something's happened and I'm down. Cleanse and purge. Search me, O God. Wash me. Purge me. Cleanse me. Do you know the need of the church? We talked about a Pentecostal revival. Maybe we ought to go back one step. We need a purging, a washing, a cleansing, made holy. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about the name of the door of Holiness Church. I'm talking about a spirit in your heart. Holiness. No longer got to have my way. No longer got to go my way. No longer if I'm going to listen to that inner man, that inner nature. He's dead, he's gone, he's crucified. Only one today lives in my heart is Jesus Christ. He reigns upon the throne of my heart. And when he says, go this way, I'm anxious to go. If he says, go this way, I'm anxious to go. No longer a battle going on. Brother, that's victory. Now, the way do you get to glorified body? To be purified. To be washed. To be cleansed now, Paul said, now. The next two words, no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. You know what he's saying? That battle within has been taken care of. That warfare that was in my heart is no longer there. He has given me victory. He's given me peace. We sing that chorus, peace like a river. But for the saved man, it's peace like a river for a while, and there's a storm until he goes on his holiness and his sanctification. Can you say amen? Do you believe that? It's real. Peter said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Not just on Sunday night when we're rejoicing, praying and praising God, but Monday. It's joy. When your wife is in the hospital, and you don't know how to cook. Probably wouldn't cook anyhow. Try to go there all the time, every day, to Norfolk. Then 4 more weeks in the rehab, every day. And glad to be there. Listen closely. I'm not bragging on me. But I'm bragging on Him who lives in my heart. There's victory in the midst of a storm. There's victory in serving God. There's peace like a river. Satan can come along and all you need to do is live for God and obey God and live right. You can say, get thee behind me, Satan, and you have to go. But if you haven't made up your mind, he'll hang around. He'll come in the back door. But if Jesus is ruling and reigning from the glory of your heart, if you're saved and sanctified, if you're purged, if you're washed, if you're cleansed, if you've been made holy, brother, then the come to that, Jesus goes to the door. What do you suppose Satan does when Jesus goes? He's been defeated. I've read the Bible. The Bible says Jesus said, I've got the keys. Death, hell, and the grave. I've got the keys. Satan comes to bother me and comes to bother you if you say that Jesus goes to the door. You still got the victory. It's Satan that has to run. Thank God. There's joy in serving God when you go into holiness. Long as you hold on to something that's bothered you, when it's ever preached about or talked about, bothers you, you need to get rid of it. The places you go, the way you dress, the way you talk, whether or not you tithe. I don't preach tithe in this church because this church says I should. I preach tithe because it's God's will. And it's the best financial plan ever been devised. God says, if you'll just give me a tenth of what you've been blessed with, I'll take the 90% and bless it more than you can imagine. And you'll live better on the 90% than you can live on the 100% robbing from God. Some people have never come to that conclusion. They need to be sanctified. There's a prayer every time maybe they hear about tithing. There's something they said, well, you've got so many bills to pay and all of this. Listen closely. If you want the bills paid, obey God. Yes. I'm going to testify in these clothes because holiness, brother, is real. I know some of you have heard it, but I'm going to tell it again. My wife and I got saved the very same time, same altar, same service. Walked down the aisle together. That night, went home, wrote a check for a tithe. We raised right. We knew. That's what we've been taught. Not seen God working. I believe the Bible. I read the Bible through before I got saved. God said, if you'll obey me, I'll bless you. You talking about a financial plan? If you just give 10% that belongs to God back to Him, He says, I'll take the 90% and I'll bless you so that even the windows of heaven will be poured out upon you. And some people have the idea that I can't give up 10%. I can't make it if I do that. And God has said, you can't make it without it. So we started paying tithes. First day we got saved. Later called to the minister some years later. Been in the service. Been overseas for 3 years in England. Come back. Called to preach. God told us exactly where to go. The town, never been there in our lives. Had our house trailer pulled to service to Arizona. We came home on a vacation, not knowing when we'd ever come back because I'd never preached in my life. I had 55 days of a crew leave in the Air Force. When that 55 days of money ran out, I had no promise of a job, had no church, had no building, had no members. Didn't know the two people in town. But God said, obey me and I'll take care. I went to get a job. No church. No one financing the church. Starting in a scout house. I went to get a job to support my wife and I and Mike. I went to one place and they said, we like your credentials, but since you're a preacher, we'll train you, we'll spend money to train you, and then you'll be gone. I couldn't deny that, so I went looking somewhere else. I went to the Army base, Fort Huachuca. I was lined up for a job at the Provost Marshal's office. Told me to go get an exam and come back, physical, and come back, and go to work. He hired me. I was on my way to the hospital to get a physical, and I met the Assemblies of God preacher that I already met. His name happened to be Jones. He happened to have one son. We had one son. His son, same age as my son. He just come to town, just started a church, Assemblies of God. He said, Glenn, have you got a job? I said, not yet. I'm going to get a physical right now. And if I pass the physical, you got a job at the Provost Marshal's office. A GS-3. GS-3 is not a general. I want you to know that. I didn't go to the hospital. I went straight to the post office because Virgil said, they're hiring at the post office. They need someone now. I didn't go to the hospital. I went to the post office instead. And I was interviewed by the assistant postmaster. He said, come to work tomorrow, Monday, whatever it was. I never did go to the hospital. I started as GS-4. Got a raise before I ever worked a day. But bless God. We paid tithes. There came a time before we went to look for that job. Had no job. Bills were coming due. Had a house full. I was paying $94, $91 and something a month. Had a 58 Chevy. This is 1959. 58 Chevy, that's paying 70-some dollars a month. We laid our bills on the kitchen table in a mobile home that we were living in and spread them out. Now, God can see whether they're in the cupboard, in the cabinet, or on the table. We want to be sure. And we prayed, my wife and I. Laid our hands on those bills and let God know, God, you're the one called us. You promised me when you called me to preach, you'd take care if I'd obey you. We've done everything we know to do. If there's anything we haven't done we ought to do, tell me. I want to do it. Amen. Right after we paid, I went out and that's when we got that job. I got that job. I've paid tithes ever since. Amen. As far as I know, they're up to date right now. When we had no money, no job when we came back to Virginia from California in 1974. I was off in 9 different churches. From South Carolina to Oklahoma to Tennessee to Pennsylvania to Virginia. And North Carolina. 9 different churches and every time we'd pray, God said, that's not it. God had us to start this church. It started in the will of God. And I believe it's going to go out of here in the will of God. I believe God's mindful of everything that happens. When there were times when I had no revivals when we came back, 18 months without a church, no revivals, God took care of us. We never asked anybody for a dollar, never told my mom and dad, my mother and father-in-law, never told them one thing about what we needed. God knew all the time. And God will never let you down. You obey Him and He will do His part. I preached to this church this morning something that I will never remember preaching. I've taught it. The circles. I want them to come alive in your life. The only way to get rid of that X is to sell out to God. Lay it all on the altar. Make a commitment, a dedication. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do everything God would have me to do. I'm not going to fight against anything that the Bible says. I'm going to live right. I'm going to obey God. And I'm going to walk in victory. Amen. You say, Brother Joseph, are you saying that by faith? You don't even have to have faith. If you obey God, He'll see to it that you have the victory. Amen. It's the best life in the world. Holiness. No condemnation. Man might try to say something about you. He'll remind you of something you did. But you can say, that's all under the blood. There's no condemnation. Now you want to go out of here shouting the victory. Go out of here with no condemnation. Come out tonight with no condemnation. Get tomorrow morning with no condemnation. When the trumpet sounds, hallelujah, you change, no condemnation. Go out to meet the Lord with joy in your heart, peace in your soul, a song on your lips, a spring in your step. Got the glory of the Lord in your heart. Brother, that's real. That's real. If you are dare to obey or do what I've said today according to God's word, you will live in victory. And if you live continually with a pull in your heart, when you come down to the end of this life, you've missed out on so much of God's blessings. The victory. And I like when I'm going to close from the piano, honey. When I mention that man in the 27th verse. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Who can deliver me from this pain that's in my heart? This warfare that's going on. Who can take care of it? And the next verse it says, I thank God it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the answer to every need in your life. Anything that comes your way, He's the answer. You obey Him, brother, and you can live in victory. If you don't obey Him, you'll have a struggle the rest of your life. Thank God for holiness. Will you stand together with me? Will you stand together with me?